Catholic Connection is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Welcome to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo, keeping you connected to your faith and your world. Teresa tackles the issues of faith and culture, the pro-life message, and media awareness. And now, here's Teresa Tomeo.
On this Friday morning, hope you're having a blessed one. Can you believe it? We're moving into Holy Week already. Wow, time flies. We have a very busy morning. I'm so excited to have Doug Keck on with me. He joins me every Friday. And, of course, every single day we have incredible programming to help you grow and stay closer to Jesus and the one holy Catholic and apostolic faith. But in particular, when we come to these very special times in our liturgical calendar in the church, moving into Holy Week next week, what a great place to be, to have EWTN right there for so many beautiful programs that can help you learn more about the faith, walk the way of the cross with the Lord, see the various events going on Good Friday in Rome with the Holy Father, whether it's one of my favorites, which is the of course, the beautiful, beautiful broadcast of the Stations of the Cross from the Colosseum, whether it's the Easter Vigil Mass or the beautiful Mass in St. Peter's Square on Easter Sunday morning, whatever it is, we're there. That's why we say we're everywhere. So Doug will be joining us at 15 minutes past the hour, as he always does on Fridays. And because next Friday is Good Friday, we will be off, okay, going into the Easter weekend. So he'll give us a summary of everything that's coming up. So you don't want to miss that. And always remember, you can go to EWTN.com for all of our programs. Very honored to have Chuck Konzelman back on with me today. He is the director and screenwriter, along with Carrie Solomon, from the movie Unplanned. Now, he was testifying in Washington this week. Why? Because he was speaking up about the censorship and the attacks that occurred from social media, the film industry, Hollywood, media in general. Specifically looking at the way technology attacks free speech. This was a very, very important hearing. The U.S. Senate's Judicial Committee, a subcommittee on the Constitution, which was led by Senator Ted Cruz from Texas, they hosted a hearing titled Stifling Free Speech, Technology, Censorship, and the Public Discourse. Now, I ran the entire opening statement of Chuck's in my program earlier, and Andrew will have a link to that, or you can just go back and listen to the show on the archive segment at AveMariaRadio.net a little bit later in the day. We'll play a short clip going into that interview at the bottom of the hour, but I really encourage you to search it and see if you can find it. And again, Andrew will have that information up there on the archive section of AveMariaRadio.net. Just look for archives and you can go right to Catholic Connection. But it's pretty incredible because it's not just what happened, the ridiculous nonsense that went on with Twitter. All of a sudden, their account drops out. And then after everybody complained, after they received a huge backlash, oh, it's up again with no explanation. And then he documents everything that they had to go through in order to try to get the information out, from the R rating from the Motion Picture Association of America to the denial by major cable networks that had a good chunk of their demographic that they wanted to reach, how this was systematically, how this film was attacked. And yet it's done extremely well at the box office. I think the numbers are over 13 million in terms of the ticket sales for the movie. And he also mentions in this testimony, which is pretty powerful, that two very staunchly pro-abortion films are coming out. Now, we have another movie coming out that's supposed to be another really good pro-life film, and that's all about Roe v. Wade and the lies that were told. The whole thing is built on lies. And yet, apparently, Sandra Bullock, the Hollywood sweetheart, is going to be playing Wendy Davis, remember the woman from Texas, who did this whole filibuster on abortion? And ironically, or maybe not so ironically, the title of the film is Let Her Speak. Really? Let Her Speak. Nobody stopped her from speaking. And secondly, think about all the voices that are silenced, especially the voices of baby girls in the womb. It's so twisted. It's such a projection. I was talking to Dr. Ray about just the psychological stuff that goes on. I mean, it's fascinating to me. He was in studio this week for our membership drive. In terms of the games that those who promote killing and evil intrinsically evil actions such as abortion. How they try to project what they're doing onto us, saying that we're silencing voices. Not only are they silencing the voices of the pro-life movement through various ways, whether it be social media, the R-rate, all these different things that happen. Bullying, threats, name-calling, ad hominem attacks, on and on and on. But they silence the voices of the babies in the womb, fathers who want to say in their child's life, other family members. For example, my co-host on The Catholic View for Women, Janet Marana, outlined so powerfully in her book, The Shockwaves of Abortion. You're the one not letting people speak, not us. Anyway, what I'm trying to say is when it comes to the pro-abortion movement and their love of Planned Parenthood and Hollywood's love of all things abortion, you can bet that the promotion of these films promoting abortion will be all over the place. So this is why it's important for us to know what's going on and to keep promoting unplanned. And we'll talk with Chuck about that as well. So that's at the bottom of the hour. And speaking of pro-life, Christian Hawkins, president of Students for Life of America, will be joining me as we wrap up our program on a Friday because there's something pretty special going on at the White House. They're going to actually be screening the very important film, Gosnell, about his house of horrors in Philadelphia and what happened there. And again, he was not alone. There are some people who are trying to say, well, he was, you know, just a bad example of somebody who got away with a lot and shouldn't have been operating that place in the first place. Well, first of all, even if he were only one, which he's not, if you're so concerned about women's health, why the heck did you let this go on so long where people were dying at this clinic? You know how the guy was discovered? A drug raid. So even them saying, well, this is just only one bad guy. You care so much about women that you're going to let this guy do what he was doing for years? The place was a pigsty. And he's not the only one. Most of the freestanding abortion facilities are less regulated than your local nail salon, for crying out loud. But, oh, we're all about reproductive health and helping women. Yeah. And I'm the tooth fairy. All right. Moving right along, we have a busy morning, 7 minutes past the hour. We will open up the phone lines at 15 minutes past the hour. Pray for all the radio stations, the affiliates across the country, having their membership drives this week, their spring membership drives, including yours truly, Ave Maria Radio. And as Mother Angelica always said, keep us between your gas and electric bills. Support both EWTN and your affiliate because we work directly together. Let's see what's happening in and around the news on a Friday morning. It is April 12th. Well, the Massachusetts Catholic Conference opposing a newly signed state law there, claiming it will deny the right of parents to engage therapists who could help their child who's experiencing gender dysphoria. The governor there, Charles Baker, signing a very broad bill this week banning therapy for minors with same-sex attraction that seeks to change their behavior. Congresswoman Omar from Minnesota is sparking outrage again, this time for referring to the 9/11 attacks as something some people did. Some people did something, she said at a speech recently. The Minnesota congresswoman, one of the first two Muslim women elected to the House, made the remark last month in Los Angeles at an event hosted by the Council on American-Islamic Relations. She said CARE was founded after 9/11 because, quote, they recognized that some people did something and that all of us were starting to lose access to our civil liberties. However, CARE was actually founded in 1994. Meanwhile, the cover of the New York Post showed a picture of the World Trade Center towers burning on September 11, 2001, while referencing a quote to the Muslim congresswoman made during that event in Los Angeles. The Post cover story and headline read, "Here's your something." In other news this morning, President Trump says he absolutely agrees with Attorney General Bill Barr, that the government spied on his campaign back in 2016.
I'll go a step further. In my opinion, it was illegal spying, unprecedented spying, and something that should never be allowed to happen in our country again.
During a White House photo op yesterday, the president said many people understand the situation. Trump again targeting the origins of the Russia investigation, calling it treason. A woman is dead and several others hurt following a shootout involving federal agents in Phoenix. Here's a man who witnessed the shooting.
Because you just heard like, then you heard one crash, then you heard the second crash, and then out of nowhere you just hear the hailstorm, you know.
Started yesterday morning when officials say Homeland Security agents tried pulling a car over to serve an arrest warrant for human smuggling. That's when the suspects and agents started to exchange gunfire. The woman pronounced dead at the scene while four other suspects and four agents were sent to the hospital. The extent of those injuries haven't been released yet, and authorities are still looking into that shooting. Mark Mayfield explains former Obama White House counsel Gregory Craig is being charged by federal prosecutors as part of the Mueller-Russia probe.
NBC's Tom Winter says the charges center around a report Craig and his law firm were commissioned to write for the Ukrainian government.
But this report was put together at the behest of Greg Craig at Skadden Arps, the law firm, and it was all part of Paul Manafort's work for that pro-Russian, pro-Putin government, Viktor Yanukovych.
Craig worked with Paul Manafort in 2012 on behalf of the pro-Russian branch of Ukraine. He was indicted yesterday by the Justice Department on charges that carry a five-year maximum sentence.
Los Angeles federal prosecutors say celebrity lawyer Michael Avenatti stole millions from his clients and is being charged in a 36-count federal indictment.
If convicted of the 36 crimes alleged in the indictment, Mr. Avenatti would face a statutory maximum sentence of 333 years in federal prison.
U.S. Attorney in Los Angeles Nick Hanna went over some of the details of the new indictment, including allegedly defrauding a paraplegic client of a $4 million settlement, then using that cash for his coffee business and auto races. Avenatti allegedly took nearly $3 million from another client's settlement and bought a jet. Hanna said the jet has been seized. He has been arrested in New York for an alleged plot to extort money as well from Nike. Boeing is flight testing its software fix for the 737 MAX. CEO Dennis Muilenburg saying the company completing 96 flights so far to make sure updates to the aircraft's anti-stalling system work properly. Speaking at the George W. Bush Presidential Center in Dallas, Muilenburg saying Boeing is making progress in simulator training of pilots and crew members from airlines flying the aircraft. He said the company will likely submit its plan to fix the MAX to the FAA within the next 2 weeks for approval. Lawyers for WikiLeaks co-founder Julian Assange vowing to fight a U.S. extradition request after his arrest yesterday in London. The Justice Department charges connected to the WikiLeaks release of classified documents from former RV primate Chelsea Manning. British police taking him into custody at the Ecuadorian embassy where he's been holed up for the past 7 years. And Brian Shook explains that the city of Chicago filing a lawsuit against Empire actor Jussie Smollett over claims he was a victim of a racist and homophobic attack.
The city had threatened the lawsuit if Smollett didn't repay it for the cost of the investigation after police accused him of faking the attack. The lawsuit claims Smollett planned the attack with two brothers and filed a false police report. Smollett was charged for filing a false report, but those charges were abruptly dropped. Police and Chicago Mayor Rahm Emanuel were not happy about the decision by prosecutors. Smollett maintains he was telling the truth.
NASA is releasing the results of its landmark twin study centering around astronaut Scott Kelly, who spent 340 days in space, and his identical twin Mark Kelly, who remained on Earth. The study showing that Scott Kelly's stay on the International Space Station changed some of his genes dramatically, the space agency concluding that human health can be mostly sustained for a year in space. Now, there are reports that when actress Lori Loughlin was first contacted by the district attorney in Boston in connection with that huge college admissions scandal, that she thought the charges against her were a hoax or bogus. It appears now that she and her husband, though, are planning to plead not guilty. They are accused of paying $500,000 in bribes to get their children into USC. And finally, in our news segment at 14 minutes past the hour on a Friday morning, April 12th to be exact, Lisa Carter says Amazon is listening.
Millions of people have the company's smart speakers in their homes, and Amazon employs thousands in different countries around the world to analyze snippets of audio picked up by the devices. The goal is to improve the software's understanding of language to better answer user requests. The workers are required to sign non-disclosure agreements about what they hear, and Amazon says only a fraction of audio is listened to and analyzed. Users can opt out of having their voice recording used in the development of new features in the software's privacy settings.
You know we always have great programming here at EWTN. That's why you listen and watch us. But Holy Week, amazing. Doug Keck will explain coming up.
Would you get on a plane that doesn't have a pilot? Investing in passive index mutual funds may present the same issue. The Ave Maria Mutual Funds are actively managed by seasoned investment professionals to help you meet your investment goals in a morally responsible way. Ave Maria funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors could invest in the no-load Ave Maria Mutual Funds. You can learn more about the Ave Maria Mutual Funds at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com. This Ave Maria program is brought to you in part by the nonprofit CMF Curo.
Do you want an affordable health care option that enables you to protect your family and live your Catholic faith? CMF Curo is the Catholic health care ministry that works to bring health to the whole person, spirit, mind, and body. CMF Curo allows you to share health costs with other Christians and is more affordable than health insurance. Go to mycatholichealthcare.com. That's mycatholichealthcare.com. CMF Curo, healthcare fully alive.
When the need for senior care arises, home is where the heart is. Visiting Angels provides home care for mom or dad up to 24 hours per day, including personal care, meals, and light housework. You may select your professional caregiver with Visiting Angels. More information at visitingangels.com or at 877-374-LIVE. That's 877-374-LIVE. Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care.
This program is underwritten by
Unplanned, the true story of Abby Johnson.
I would be the youngest director in Planned Parenthood history.
She believed in a woman's right to choose.
I've had an abortion myself, so I don't have any problem with another woman making the same decision.
Until the day she saw something that changed everything.
Tiny, perfect little baby. And then it was just gone.
Now she's pulling back the curtain on the abortion industry. Now playing Rated R.
I was watching the network last night, as a matter of fact, EWTN television, and the great spot that, or I would say, we call it a spot in the business, more of an advertisement, but they explained all the different outlets and programs and apps and things that we have, and one of the things they mentioned are all the news outlets that I'm always encouraging people to follow, and in all of my books, in the back of my books, I always put down Catholic News Agency, EWTNnews.com, The Register. These are all solid publications that give us the news, especially with what's going on in Rome. And Doug and I were just chatting during the break. And by the way, Doug Keck, if you're a new listener, is our chief operating officer and the president of EWTN. Doug, we were talking about that huge story regarding Pope Emeritus Benedict and his summary essay regarding the abuse crisis that you had exclusively with Catholic News Agency that was on the it still is up on the website, but it was a big story and still is.
Right, exactly. Thank you so much for having me on. Obviously, the guys at CNA and our Rome office, Ed Penton and the Register people, a whole coordinated effort, Ossie Prince, have done a great job of really covering news and breaking stories now. And that, along with the recent story, even with the book that came out, coming out of Honduras, that kind of touches on Cardinal Maradiaga.
Mm-hmm.
You know, another exciting, interesting story, a lot of different things happening. And again, always presented in a factual, non-acerbic way so that people can find out what the true facts are, engage for themselves without riling people up for no reason,
right,
which is not the goal of a news operation, and certainly not one of a Catholic news operation. You know, and then, of course, Archbishop Chaput, I happened to see last week at a meeting, and he's got a wonderful article talking about, you know, Pope Emeritus Benedict's letter that he put out. And there's a quote in there that he quotes that jumped out at me. It said, there are values which must never be abandoned for a greater value and even surpass the preservation of physical life. There is martyrdom. God is more than physical survival. A life that would be bought by the denial of God is a life that is based on a final lie and is a non-life. A world without God can only be a world without meaning. A paramount task which must result from the upheavals of our time is that we ourselves once again begin to live by God and unto Him. And I thought,
wow.
Yeah. Hear, hear.
Now, where can we find that? Because he did two amazing talks in the last month, which I keep going back to and I keep quoting over and over again, speaking to two college
audiences. I think that particular one I pulled off First Things. That was on First Things, so people can check that out.
I want to pull that up and post it because I'm telling you what, he just gets it. And you know, he was speaking very openly, I'm sure you're aware of this, when he was speaking at the two college campuses in the last month about how we have to start talking about one of the biggest problems with the crisis in the church, and that's the predatory homosexuality with the priests. And if we don't address that, he said, we're not going to get anywhere. I'm paraphrasing, but that's basically what he said.
Absolutely. And of course, Pope Emeritus mentions in the whole idea when he came out in the article, in the notes that he said, where he talked about the various seminaries having homosexual cliques that were established, which acted more or less openly, significantly changed the climate in the seminary. So that's not Archbishop Chaput saying that. He's just recounting what Pope Emeritus Benedict said. And I quite honestly, what anybody who has half a brain knows is true.
Right. And that, plus I'm really glad that in addition to those points, that the Pope Emeritus talked about the cultural sexual revolution that happened and the impact it had. Because everybody's saying, well, see, you know, people who want to fight the church and want an excuse to leave will say, well, see, what you teach isn't true because look at everything that's happened with these priests. But no, it's even more true because when you buy into the world, as Benedict explained in this piece that he just wrote, that he just submitted, this is what happens. When you cave in and let the world run your life, it shows the problems, highlights the problems.
Absolutely. You know, I just had the pleasure of Father Don Calloway was just on with Father Mitch on Wednesday. I had a chance to talk to Father Don about a couple of his books, including 10 Wonders of the Rosary. And it was interesting in just talking to him because bringing up the defense of Our Lady, the power of the Rosary, but also how much the devil, the evil one's focus is really on destroying the priesthood. And, you know, and first to convince people he doesn't exist,
right.
Second, destroy the priesthood, which then ultimately destroys the Eucharist. And so, you know, it doesn't mean that we just go and blame the devil for everything that's happened, but we need to understand that he utilizes the weaknesses of original sin in people against the church. And as Pope Benedict says, we have to remind ourselves that, yes, there's weeds and there's problems and all that is good, and we don't delude ourselves and we want that rooted out. But we can't then throw out everything and say that everybody is bad and everything is wrong. We have to keep our faith. We have to work for renewal and repair, just like with Martin Luther. You know, it wasn't that some of the things he said was wrong. It's that his attitude of how to deal with it was incorrect. And so we have to make sure that we're not like Martin Luther, who say, well, forget the whole thing. I'm going to walk out the door and start something new.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't work either.
Right, exactly. So this is a lot to think about going into Holy Week, right? A lot to think about.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, it's obviously a great liturgical time of the year. We've got a program on our Saturday night movies called The Savior, based on the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John about our Lord. We've got our EWTN Holy Land Experience with Father Joseph and Father Mark, very popular series of the two of them. Obviously, our people love to see our friars on Sunday. It's Palm Sunday, believe it or not, this Sunday, of course. And we got a Holy Week retreat from Southampton, England, all next week. A very special, just added to our schedule, The Seven Last Words, of course, with Father Raymond D'Souza, wonderful Canadian priest who's been featured on EWTN's coverage of different events out of Rome over the years. An excellent writer, so people can check that out. And then, of course, you know, Palm Sunday, we've got a special event coming next Thursday, Holy Thursday, Praying with Jesus in the Garden of Olives, direct from Jerusalem. Okay, got the Way of the Cross, of course. I know that's always one of your favorites.
Love it. Yep.
From Rome, of course, and then the Easter Vigil and the event from Rome, the events from the Shrine, our own friars, and people can check out our entire schedule at EWTN.com to get all the wonderful programs that our great team at EWTN, Peter Gang and Michael Elson, Steve Beaumont, you know them all, the guys who do all the work, make these things happen, Patrick Campbell, and get all our programming on the air for people to be able to sit back and enjoy a marvelous, fruitful, and insightful Holy Week.
Do you find that during these special liturgical seasons that somebody maybe will just stumble onto EWTN and they'll see the Stations of the Cross or the Easter Vigil, or the Mass in St. Peter's Square on Easter Sunday, and they'll find their way home eventually? I'm sure you've heard stories. from that?
I think you could probably, I'm sure, you know, I think there's probably every program we've ever had on, if we actually knew the truth, we'd probably find someone who heard something that led them back to the church. And one of the great things that I've always found in the faith, and just why it shows it's God's work, is that you have some big thing that you think, well, this is a beautiful event and the people are going to see this and everybody will be attracted, and maybe that's true. And then you have this spot, this Faith Matters, this Teresa Tomeo talking about what's happening in the media for 2 minutes, and you find out that that was what clicked somebody to say, yeah, okay, now I get it, and what else do they have to say? So the great thing about Catholic Radio, EWTN, the web, all these little things, they open the door to people's hearts, their consciences.
Preach it, brother. Preach it. All right.
Amen.
Great stuff. Have a great weekend, and look forward to, we won't talk to you next week because it's Good Friday, but in 2 weeks. Doug, thanks so much, and again, great programming, EWTN.com for all the details. You want to stay close to us always, but especially during Holy Week, the holiest week of the year. We'll be right back. Stay tuned on a Friday.
Traveling for spring break? You don't have to miss your favorite Ave Maria program. Bookmark AveMariaRadio.net or download the Ave Maria Radio app on your smart device. You can listen to more than a dozen live or recorded Ave Maria radio shows wherever and whenever you want. On the road, in the line at the amusement park, at the beach, or in the evening after a productive day. Stay connected. That's AveMariaRadio.net.
What's stopping you from becoming a Catholic?
Why can't women become priests?
I don't understand why I have to earn salvation.
How is it possible that God created everything?
Why do I need to confess my sins to a priest?
Why is the Catholic Church so unwilling to
The Catholic Church is too rich.
Catholics worship Mary and are committed.
As far as I'm concerned, all religions are equal.
You are called to communion with Dr. David Anders. Today, 2 p.m. Eastern, on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
It's time for Family Man with Dr. Gregory Popchak.
Anxiety disorders affect 20% of Americans, and many take anti-anxiety medications in an attempt to find relief. But surprisingly, a new study from the University of New Zealand examining the effectiveness of different types of anxiety therapies found that compared with using medication alone to treat anxiety, or even medication combined with therapy, anxious patients who received cognitive behavior therapy alone experienced the most relief of all three groups. The study found that anxious patients can tend to lean too heavily on medication to help them feel calm, and because of that, can struggle to develop the skills therapy could otherwise afford them. By contrast, patients who received counseling alone worked harder to learn skills that helped them create a more peaceful life. If you're suffering from anxiety but not currently receiving counseling, contact a faithful therapist who can make sure you're getting the best care possible. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, but you can call me Family Man.
To discover more ways faith can enrich your life, visit CatholicCounselors.com.
Within hours of our theatrical debut, in the early morning hours of Saturday, March 30th, the film's Twitter account, technically the account owned by the film's single-purpose marketing entity, was suspended. The reason for that suspension has not, to the best of my knowledge, been made clear beyond being accidental or a mistake. However, when such accidents occur within 12 hours of the film's theatrical debut, and after what I understand was 9 months of ownership, during which time there were zero suspensions, the glitch becomes suspect. Within 2 hours after the suspension service was restored, although it's also my understanding that our posting of a Twitter announcement with words to the effect of, "We're back," was deleted from the account without explanation. Later on the same day, Twitter apparently deleted the vast majority of those listed as followers on her account, reducing the number from something on the order of 200,000 to less than 200, a 1,000-to-1 reduction in our listed followers. And numerous people, including the subject of our film, Abby Johnson, and the star of our film, Ashley Bratcher, found themselves unable to read or follow their own movie on Twitter.
Surprise, surprise. Welcome back. 28 minutes past the hour. That's Chuck Konzelman testifying before a Senate committee earlier this week regarding stifling free speech, social media censorship, and also other types of media censorship when it comes to trying to get the word out on Unplanned. However, the Lord still came through, of course, because he always does, and the movie is still doing very well. Chuck, first of all, congratulations. Another good weekend last weekend, right?
Oh, thank you. Yeah, we're doing quite well. For an independent movie, this is an exceptional performance.
And up to, I think, over $13 million, if the last number I saw.
Yeah, I think we should be over 14 as of last night. If not, it'll be within a couple dollars of that. So going into the third weekend, that's just really a very nice place for a movie of our size to be.
All right, so you testified a few days ago. What was their response? What type of feedback? And how do you feel after having that opportunity?
Well, I was very grateful for the opportunity to testify. You know, ironically, the other party's leader that was there, Senator Mizzi Hirono, kept insisting that these, you know, instances of conservative speech being suppressed by the social media giants were purely anecdotal. And, you know, even though it wasn't expressed this way, I'm like, well, you know, we live the anecdotes. So, you know, we just presented what was going on with us. Ironically, it hasn't stopped. You know, we of the three giants that were going to be examined, Facebook, Google, and Twitter, we had problems with two of them, Google and Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently, you know, we're still having difficulties. It was a big item on Fox's news feed last night that, you know, if you Googled up our movie for Movie Times, the genre was listed as drama/propaganda.
Oh my gosh!
And you know, if you would have dial up a Michael Moore video or Fahrenheit 911 or whatever it was, even if you Googled up Triumph of the Will, and for those who aren't familiar, that was the propaganda film by Leni Riefenstahl that helped cement Hitler's hold on Nazi Germany. It was the documentary of the 1933, it was, I believe, Nuremberg Party Rally. That would be World War II/history, so even that wouldn't be propaganda. So we were just about alone, I think, in the described propaganda genre, which is really ironic given that all we did was film the true story of Abby Johnson's life.
But they can't let the truth get out, and so they have to do everything they can to disguise it, to label it differently, to suppress it. So what can we do to be aware of this and to speak up about it, Chuck, do you think?
Be aware of it. Pray for us. Go out and see the film if you haven't seen it. You know, there's probably a lot of your audience that's thinking, well, I'll wait for it on Netflix. Well, you know, part of the suppression is that Pureflix had a meeting last week with Netflix, and you know, which represents 139, I believe, million subscribers, and there was no appetite in the room for the film. So I don't think we'll be coming to Netflix because I don't think they want us. I think their decision is going to be none of our subscribers need to see this. And you know, since Amazon Prime is funding a pro-abortion movie, they're actually producing it. That one is called This Is Jane, which is the story of a pre-Roe versus Wade underground abortion provider network in Chicago. I think we know where they're likely to stand. So, you know, we're not going to be available certain other places. So why not come out and see the movie while it's available and while they can't shut us down? The one good thing about, you know, exhibitors, the people who run motion picture screens at your local Cineplex, it's the one link in the whole chain of movie making that doesn't have a political agenda. They really just don't. They just want to sell popcorn and Coca-Cola and fill seats, and so they're happy to have us. But at every other turn, we seem to be stymied.
I think you made a number of excellent points. I listened to your entire opening statement. You actually ran it in the first part of my program this morning in my 8 o'clock Eastern Time hour, especially talking about in the future, looking at and doing this, the comparing the films, your film Unplanned, which is a pro-life film and also a beautiful story. It's just an incredible story of mercy and God's love. But the other movies that are coming out, you mentioned This Is Jane, then, and also Let Her Speak about Wendy Davis and that whole, you know, debacle. But let's see when these come out, what kind of publicity they get on Twitter, all these social media outlets, with what they say at the Motion Picture Association of America, what Variety and Hollywood Reporter and all these publications say.
They're going to love it. I mean, they're going to praise this to the heavens because it's completely in line, you know, with the social media mindset. It's just the way it is. So, you know, to their mind, there is nothing more. Look, it's been observed that abortion is the sacrament of the progressive church, and that's just the way it is. You know, the secular progressive church in America, abortion is their sacrament.
Right.
It's horrible to think that way, but that's what it is.
Well, when you don't have God, you fill it up with things that you think are going to help you, and one of those is abortion, right?
Exactly. Yeah.
But I don't think we can, and I'm so glad that you went forward and testified and that you continued to speak out, because we, women and families, people are broken inside. We are the walking wounded. I know that you've heard from so many people across the country who are now finally getting some help or starting to deal with what happened, whether they had an abortion themselves or helped procure an abortion in some way or were associated. Maybe it was a sister, a daughter, a friend. We cannot be silent.
No, and here's the most amazing statistic, and this is just absolutely incredible as far as I'm concerned. The movie's been out, you know, now just about 2 weeks. Since that time, probably 1% of the abortion workers in the United States have reached out to quit.
Wow.
And we're not talking those who are just walking away. We're talking about those who have reached out to Abby Johnson's organization. There's a call at the end of the film, you know, in other words, if you want to talk to someone about, you know, abortion pain or if you're in a crisis pregnancy or whatever. But then there's a number, it's actually the same number, you just go through a different routine on the when you call in. If you're an abortion worker who wants to transition out, you know, to call, to text HOPE to a particular number. And Abby Johnson's organization, And Then There Were None, which helps raise money for these people for basic living expenses to transition out, they've received 94 calls at last count. That now, I don't think there are 10,000 abortion workers in the United States. You know, if there, let's say there's 700 clinics left, give or take, let's say they each had a dozen people there, well, that would be fewer than 10,000 workers. So I think about 1% of the abortion workers in the United States, since the film has debuted, have reached out for help to transition out of the industry. I think that's saying something. I think it speaks to how they're portrayed in the movie. They're not portrayed as monsters. They're portrayed as people who believe in what they're doing at a certain level, but at a certain level they also realize something's, you know, not quite
something's right.
They're looking to get out.
Chuck, thank you so much. I know you've been so gracious with your time, and we'll keep promoting the film, unplannedfilm.com. And Chuck is going to be joining me in about 2 weeks and with a wonderful webinar with hopefully Abby and Father Frank Pavone and others. We're going to have a plan for you on how to move forward with promoting Unplanned at the parishes in your neighborhood, just to keep the word and the buzz going. We'll be right back. Don't forget, unplannedfilm.com.
Father Benedict Groeschel.
Awe. I love reverence. Wherever I go in the world, I usually go to visit the religious buildings. And no matter what I see reverence. Awe. I've been in temples and mosques where I saw more reverence and awe of God than I see in Christian churches, even sometimes in Catholic churches. Oh, yes. Let me say it. And when I was a boy, Catholics were much more reverent and respectful in church. You never, ever spoke in church. I was a young priest. A man had a heart attack at the beginning of Mass. I stopped the Mass. We prayed for the man while the police were coming, the ambulance. They removed him from the church. He didn't die. Not one word was spoken. The police officers and the ambulance attendants who came whispered respect. I wish it were true today.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
Christ is the answer with Father John Ricardo.
We just did our parish mission a couple weeks ago now, and I suggested that in the course of the mission that we do something like a little mini spiritual assessment of our lives. I don't have to show this to anybody, but a great chance for us just to, with real honesty, just between us and Jesus, ask ourselves some questions. First question, given the fact that half of Catholics don't think God is even personal, would be to ask ourselves that. Do I think God is personal? And then to ask myself, do I think a relationship with Jesus is possible? Do I have a relationship with Jesus? And if so, what's it look like? And then perhaps a little bit more awkwardly or painfully, to ask Jesus, from his perspective, what's the friendship that we have with him look like? How would he describe our friendship with him? That might be a hard conversation to have.
It's a Friday morning. Good to be with you. Phone lines are open, 877-573-7825. Continuing our pro-life discussion with Kristen Hawkins, president of Students for Life. And wow, Kristen, there's all kinds of great stuff going on, and it was very refreshing to hear that the White House is going to have a screening today of the movie about abortionist Kermit Gosnell, whose so-called clinic in Philadelphia was known as the House of Horrors. When did you first hear about this, and what are your thoughts? Thanks for joining us.
Sure, yeah. I got an invitation last week from the White House saying that they were going to screen this movie, asking if I wanted to attend. And so, we had a meeting in December with some White House officials, with different pro-life leaders, and there was a few of us there, and as well as Phelim and Ann, the writers
right.
and the producers of Gosnell. Mm-hmm. And, that was one of the asks of that meeting at the time was, could we have a screening of this movie at the White House? And so I think it's significant that this movie, which, didn't get a lot of mainstream media coverage for obvious reasons, is going to be screened at the home of the most powerful man in the world. I mean, it's unbelievable that this is going to be happening at the White House, right, the President of the United States residence. I think it sends a very, very powerful message, and I'm sure Planned Parenthood and the abortion lobby aren't having a very good day today.
Have you heard anything from them about this? I'm wondering what their reaction is.
No, I haven't seen any of their reaction, publicly. I mean, they're pretty savvy when it comes to things like this. They know if they respond, it makes, they can turn into a larger story. And so they try to ignore. It's what similar to what they've tried to do with Abby's movie, where you'll see, Planned Parenthood chapters or affiliates might say something disparaging. But for the most part, Planned Parenthood has been pretty silent on the movie, not wanting to make it a bigger splash than it already is. And so we're not, I haven't seen anything from the guys about Gosnell. I mean, it's a powerful movie. We screened it on 100 campuses this fall. It was this February. And we did 100 campuses in 1 week. And we had the Gosnell movie. We purchased the public viewing license from the producers. And every single student that I heard from who watched the movie walked away, sick, about the abortion industry, and for, what they were allowed to do there in Philadelphia, how he was able to operate this House of Horrors for so long, and no one really questioned it. No one investigated, because they were too afraid, to talk about this issue of abortion. And this is a talking point, by the way, that wins with young people, especially mushy middle, those people who say, I don't like abortion, but I wouldn't tell someone else not to have an abortion. And those are the people we're trying to convert, when we're talking about broad culture change on campuses and within this generation. Those are the people we're trying to convert. And when you tell them about Kermit Gosnell, when you tell them about the horrors that go on every single day at Planned Parenthood clinics right in their state, you change minds. We used the Gosnell movie, for example. We screened on 100 campuses, and then we launched into our spring project, which is Planned Parenthood Truth. That's touring 135 campuses. And, we have little postcards for every school we go to telling them about the clinic violations right in their state.
Right.
This wasn't just an outlier. Kermit Gosnell was not just an outlier.
I was just going to say that. I'm so glad you brought that up, Kristen, because somebody posted on my Facebook page yesterday, well, they should be watching Unplanned, blah, 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 because, Gosnell was extreme and he's the only one. I'm like, well, yeah, every abortionist is extreme when you're killing children.
Exactly.
I said, but secondly, no, he wasn't an outlier. You just mentioned all of these violations, and supposedly Planned Parenthood and the abortion industry is all about women's quote-unquote health. It is such a lie.
It's absolutely a lie. And when you tell them about what's going on, when you tell students what's happening to an abortion facility, so right in their state, you're like, oh, did you know this Planned Parenthood was cited for having rusty instruments? Did you know this Planned Parenthood sent, for example, in St. Louis, the Planned Parenthood sent 67 women to the emergency room via ambulance in the past several years? When you tell students these things, it changes their minds. We're giving more than a 50% conversion rate on campuses just this semester, walking students through this. Students will come up to us, pro-Planned Parenthood, pro-abortion industry, and walk away saying, yeah, that isn't right. Like, I don't like that. I don't think that I trust them any longer. And that's significant. It takes 5 minutes, and we can change the mind.
It's such a whole case of brainwashing that's occurred, and this constant pounding that Planned Parenthood is good and pro-life is bad, and we have to continue to break through. So in terms of who's invited, obviously pro-life leaders, you know who else is going to be at the screening?
I don't know. Obviously pro-life leaders are invited. I assume several conservative organization leaders will be there as well. And then I'm praying that there's going to be a lot of staff. A lot of White House staff will be allowed to take the 90-minute break to come and watch the movie. Because I think that's, for so many who are, especially in Washington, D.C., and they hear about abortion, but it just becomes another issue for them. And it becomes this political issue. And when you and I know, Teresa, that it's not a political issue. This is a very basic human rights issue. And I think it's important for staff, those people who serve in the White House, who serve in high-ranking positions throughout the Trump administration, know exactly what the abortion industry is really about.
I know that during the Obama administration, for example, he had a screening, hosted a screening of a film called The Danish Girl, which was about an early 20th century transgender artist. It was part of an evening that he had honoring LGBTQ activists back in 2015. So presidents having screenings isn't all that odd. The last one, as we said, was with Obama, and obviously he had a vested interest in that community. I mean, he was a big supporter of that movement. And so for anybody to say, oh, well, this is wrong, they shouldn't be doing this, it's too political, why is it okay for previous administrations to support films?
Exactly.
Right?
That's exactly right. I mean, there's always going to be a double standard anytime the left, the mainstream media, talks about abortion. They're for political, you know, anytime. They're for their politics.
Right.
They're against ours. And so anytime there's anything pro-life that happens within the administration, there's always a question of, well, why is this brought up at all? Why are they even allowed to talk about this? I can think of no other issue right now that we need to be talking about than the destruction of 2,700 Americans that's going to happen today, largely at the hands of Planned Parenthood, the nation's largest abortion vendor. This is absolutely an issue that needs to be talked about every single day at the White House, every single day in the halls of Congress, until it's ended.
We're talking with Kristen Hawkins. You know her well from her great work in the pro-life movement, and specifically her role as a president of Students for Life. So let me ask you, we haven't talked or spoken since the movie Unplanned came out. What are you hearing?
Sure. Oh, I actually just got a great email just about 2 hours ago. Students for Life group at Marion University in Indiana saw the movie, were so motivated by the movie, went out and prayed at the Planned Parenthood that same day, and they had a baby saved.
Yay!
So it was incredible to get that email from the Students for Life group. But, yes, we're hearing, you know, we've had dozens and dozens and hundreds of Students for Life groups go out and see the film. They brought their friends. We have a pro-life challenge, Unplanned Challenge, where we've been actually giving free tickets away. We purchased well over $15,000 in tickets just for Unplanned for pro-life students who pledged to go to the movie and take a pro-choice friend.
Oh, that's awesome.
We're actually buying
them
the
tickets
to the movies. So, yeah, we've had a lot. I met a girl last Saturday. I was speaking at an event, not even a pro-life event, and she came to me. She goes, I just want to thank you for the challenge, for buying my ticket. I took my mother, who's pro-choice. It's going to change her mind.
Wow. Wow. We're hearing that all the time. I mean, since this thing opened, and even some reporters, and I was talking to Abby about this the day after the Monday after the weekend of the opening, and they reached out, her and her husband reached out to a reporter for a Florida newspaper, and this woman was writing an op-ed, and she went in it as a staunch pro-choicer, and she said, I am questioning everything I believe.
Yep. I read that article. Yeah, I mean, how do you not? If you're for abortion, you go into this movie, it is going to make you question everything you think. And I love the way, you know, Abby was, and I'm sure they were very careful in the way they portrayed those who work in the abortion facility.
Right.
Because that's, you know, my experience of going undercover. So when I used to go undercover at the abortion facilities, when I was pregnant with my first son, there was actually some really good footage that we obtained that we never released. Because I didn't want the women that I had spoken with at the facility to be fired, because they would have talked me out of having an abortion. And so there are women who work at these facilities, who work at abortion facilities, And I don't know. It's cognitive dissonance. But they're anti-abortion. Like, they're against abortion. And yet they work there. Or they are for abortion, but they think that they're helping women, right? That mm-hmm. abortion is just going to help her get out of her crisis. And so I really liked how they depicted some of those workers who worked with Abby at the abortion clinic, not as evil people who obviously who are misguided, who didn't know what abortion really was, but thought they were helping women. And I think that's a really powerful message and a good reminder, especially to all of us who work in the trenches every day,
right?
Because you can easily get into this, you know, us versus them mentality. And I think we have to be very careful. We need to make sure we're always witnessing to those workers in the abortion facility, and we're trying to get them out of the abortion industry as well, and that we love them. We love them just as much as we love the women who are going in.
Yeah, you make so many good points, and the disconnect too. And I thought was very powerful where they had the baby shower for Abby at the end of the day where they were performing all these abortions, and the disconnect there. Yeah. And then the other thing, Dr. Monica Miller and I were talking about this, about how the denial, where Abby, after she went through that excruciating chemical abortion, and she's on the phone screaming at Planned Parenthood saying, "You lied to me, you lied to me," and then she still goes to work for them.
Yep, exactly. And it shows you how powerful cognitive dissonance really is. I mean, we see it on campuses all the time where we'll have a student who will agree with us. Human rights begin to conception. When, you know, DNA, a unique set of DNA that comes into existence that never existed before will never exist again. And then we'll say, "Well, what do you think about abortion?" And then the student will say, "Well, I think it should be legal. I think it's okay." And they don't understand. Like, there was a clip that we just released this week from my speech, my live feminist talk at Boston College 2 weeks ago, where I got the student, the pro-choice student, on record saying that it's not a baby, that a baby who's born alive during a botched abortion is not a baby, and does not deserve health care, when she just had said that babies who are across the border, at the U.S.-Mexico border, who are dying, who are in need of life-sustaining care, taxpayers should give them and use our tax dollars to sustain their life, to give them health care, but she doesn't think a baby born alive during an abortion should also be entitled to those same rights. And I asked her why, and I just said, "What's the difference?" And she said, "Well, it's not a baby. They've already determined it's not a baby." So the cognitive.
How can she say that? How can she sit there and say it's not a baby? It may not be a wanted child because by the mother, but it's not. It doesn't. You can't sit. It's see. This is again. You're right. It's just.
It's my point, and it's funny because I was looking at one of the news clips. Brett Bart took the video and made it go, and there's my face versus her face, and they took a still of the video, and it's pretty funny. It should be a meme because it's like at that point I just looked at the audience and I was like, "Yep," and you heard it from here. You know, like at that point I wasn't even trying to change her mind. I was actually trying to change the audience.
Right,
mind.
And exactly.
Because I saw their faces light up when they were like, "Oh my gosh, she just said that." And that's really the point we try to tell with a lot of our students. And when they're having these debates with people and having like an in-depth discussion with someone about abortion, sometimes you're not going to change the mind of the person you're talking to. Your goal is just to plant the seed. But if you get a crowd surrounding you, you want to change the mind of those people in the crowd, and you want to point out to them the illogical position that's being taken by the abortion industry. You want to show them the cognitive dissonance that's going on in their decision-making ability, because that's what affects people. That's what changes their minds when they go, "Oh, wow, I really can't be for this and also for abortion."
Yeah,
that doesn't make sense.
Well, Kristen, thank you so much for your great work and for highlighting what's happening right now, not only in Washington, but around the country and the world. And, of course, the administration in Washington, the White House, screening Gosnell this morning, which is so important. So I'm curious to see how that goes and the positive fallout from that. What's your website if people want more information?
Studentsforlife.org.
All right, my dear. Safe travels. I know you're on the road a lot, and we will talk to you soon. And we'll be right back to let you know what's coming up on a Monday morning edition of Catholic Connection. Stay tuned.
The EWTN home video highlight for April is My Life with Mother Angelica. Relive precious moments on a very special bookmark at Our Lady of the Angels Monastery as Sister Mary Agnes and Doug Keck discuss My Life with Mother Angelica by Sister Mary Raphael. Order your DVD and companion book at EWTNRC.com 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, or call 1-800-854-6316.
Will you pray to end abortion? Attend prayer vigils nationwide on Saturday, April 13th. We will gather at the very places where the unborn die. Let us publicly stand for life on April 13th. Your prayers are needed. Your presence is needed. For times and locations and to sign up as a leader, visit protestpp.com. That's protestpp.com.
This Easter, from 20th Century Fox and Franklin Entertainment comes Breakthrough, starring Chrissy Metz, based on a true story. When Joy Smith's son John falls through an icy Missouri lake, all hope seems lost. But a mother's belief in the power of prayer inspires her community to trust God to do the impossible.
Please, God, send your Holy Spirit to save my son.
Breakthrough, rated PG, parental guidance suggested. In theaters Wednesday, April 17th. Tickets and showtimes available at BreakthroughMovie.com.
This program is brought to you in part by Charity Mobile, a proud partner of Ave Maria Radio for over 10 years. Charity Mobile is the pro-life cell phone company and has sent nearly $2 million to thousands of pro-life charities. 4G LTE coverage is available nationwide, and 5% of your monthly plan cost goes to your favorite pro-life charity. A video introduction is available at CharityMobile.com. Charity Mobile, everyday living, effortless giving. CharityMobile.com.
Wishing you a blessed weekend as we move into Holy Week. Make sure you tune in Monday morning. Dr. Edward Shree from the Augustine Institute, EWTN, and so many great books and Bible studies. He'll be joining us and giving us a great way to prepare for this upcoming week. So important in our faith. And then Gail Buckley will be joining us with our scripture verse of the week as well. And don't forget, for all the information, if you want to check out some of the clips that we ran this morning, if you didn't hear the first hour of the show and you want to hear the 9-minute testimony from Chunk Kozelman, go to AveMariaRadio.net in the archive section. Have a great weekend. Ciao, ciao for now.
You've been listening to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo. Catholic Connection is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Our producer is Andrew Kruczek. For copies of this program or for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net. That's AveMariaRadio.net. Thanks for listening and join us next time for another edition of Catholic Connection.